Yeah, it's time to parlay, time to win a little money. Deegan and Juice with Kylan and Stucky. I know you got a chalk, but it's time for the teaser. This is how we do it when it's football season. Hey, Kylan and Stucky, yeah. Hey, Kylan and Stucky.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Welcome to Degen and Juice, episode 34. I'm Stucky, and with me, as always, is Colin Wilson, coming to us live from the slopes again in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm literally off. I'm in Winter Park, Colorado, which there's no such thing as real Wi-Fi service here. Like, hotels lie to you, restaurants lie to you, even the bars at the slopes where you're watching the games. Like, if you're trying to get a live bet in on Bet Online, they lie to you. So if I'm coming in a little bit fuzzy, it's because I've got some my ski lodge. The Wi-Fi is pretty subpar.
Well, that's all right. We're just going to go today. By the way, I'm trying to get over a loss I had earlier tonight when NCAA fouled with 2 seconds left, down 11. I had them plus 12 when Liberty was running out. They were just dribbling it. The shot clock was off, and then they fouled with 2 seconds left, down 11. That was fun. And then the kid who – some backup who hasn't made a free throw all year made both, and they won by 13.
Yeah, it's always fun to have Abilene Christian bets on a Monday, so I feel you.
Yep. So, all right, so let's get into the bracket. We can go through region by region and, you know, give some thoughts on futures, the first round matchups, potential second and third round matchups, just overall thoughts. But before we get into that, we'll start with just the overall, you know, first of all, the show was horrendous. I know everyone's talking about that already, but I mean, alphabetical, what are they going to do next year? By color? They're going to release all the blue teams and the red teams.
How is it that they're not already like just saying, okay, you won your conference tournament. These are the teams. Boom. Bam. Put them up there. And I just want to, I mean, this is your show, right? I mean, let's get serious here. I'm a big college football guy, and you're a huge college basketball guy, and March is your month and October is my month. But I bitch a lot about what the college football playoff does and how Reese and Herb Street and all of them kind of prolong how they show you, you know, only our graphics operator knows the four that's going into the college football playoff. What CBS is doing is ludicrous. It's terrible. It's worse than the seeding and the teams that they pick that gets in by the NCAA.
Yeah, it was it's embarrassing. And, I mean, there were some really big snubs. I mean, starting with St. Mary's, who I had a future on them from the beginning of the year. I assumed that they were going to be in. I mean, I can tell you that they're the first team to finish in the final AP bowl, in the top 25, to not make the tournament that was eligible. There's been a couple teams like SMU that wasn't eligible since Utah State in 2004. They were in the top 30 in KenPom. I'm shocked that, you know, they were number 28 on KenPom. Compare that to St. Bonnie's, who's number 69. You know, Cuse, number 54. They haven't beat a good team all year. Notre Dame, number 31. I put them in. Colson's healthy now. With a healthy Colson, I mean, they're one of the top 20 best teams in the country.
Wasn't that a big thing by the committee? Like, how did you play your last 10 games? I mean, how does Notre Dame play their last 10 games? Abonte, I mean, I don't know how they didn't accept them.
Yeah, then Arizona State gets in, even though they just faded so hard. I mean, they you look at KenPom rankings, they were 45, but, you know, talk about them fading down the stretch. And I'll take Louisville at 33 in the tournament over Arizona State all day. It's really a shame for Louisville, who essentially missed out on losing that Virginia game somehow, up four with a second to go, because I think if they win that game, they're 100% in. They'll be thinking of that game for the rest of their lives, those kids. It's, you know, and then they put all these teams in clusters because they want these blockbuster second and third round matchups. I mean, some teams that got screwed over are, I mean, Michigan State and Duke are two of the three, you know, favorite teams all year long to win it all. And I mean, they're still up there. They're two of the top four, but they're going to meet in the Sweet 16.
Not only you, Kansas was under 20-1 the entire year. That's in the same pod.
Yeah, so, I mean, the winner of the Michigan State-Duke will have to play Kansas. Now, speaking of that bracket, that pod, that was one of the worst pods I've ever seen, and it's very difficult. But You know, New Mexico State is a 12, is severely underseeded. I think they're going to beat Clemson. It's one of my upsets I've been touting. You know, Charleston.
Let's get to a big question. As you published a piece, because you published a piece that I read today on the Ski Slopes. I thought it was an excellent piece. And I want to know, with the point spread dropping, does Penn and the 3-point and what they can do against 3-point, does Penn actually have a shot to pull off something that's never happened before?
Yes. I mean, 100% they do. I mean, so thanks for saying the piece was excellent. I paid Colin to say that.
It is.
So, yeah, I mean, I made a bet, by the way, with someone who I hope they forgot. It was a significant bet, and I was in college. I mean, we're talking, I think I made this almost 10 years ago, where I said a 16 seed would beat a 1 seed by 2020. So I don't know if they remember this bet, or because I do, but the way that it's going to happen, and I'm surprised that it hasn't, you know, there's been a couple close scares, but I'm surprised that it hasn't, you know, there hasn't been more since. But how I think it, how I envisioned it happening is this exact scenario. It's when, you know, you have a team that's a one, but probably could be a two. I mean, Azubuike's hurt. Kansas deserved the one. I mean, they won the Big 12. They won the Big 12 Conference Tournament. But they're missing their best rebounder. I mean, he might play, but he's still banged up. They're very three-point reliant. And they're playing a team, so they could have easily been a two seed. You know, if West Virginia just didn't blow every lead against them.
They were all year. Yeah, and they were all year, right?
Yeah,
they were two-three all year.
Yeah, so then they're playing a team who I was shocked was, I thought they were going to be maybe a 14. I mean, 15 I could see, but a 16. I mean, and then you have a team like Fullerton, who's horrendous, who's going to get crushed by Purdue. They're a 15. I assumed they were going to be in the playing game, but they got a 15. But Penn, so essentially what you have here is on paper, it's a 116, but really it's like a 215, maybe a 314. So, which is the reason why the spread is 14. There hasn't been a spread this low in a 116 matchup since 2005, 2006 between Oral Roberts and Memphis. Memphis ended up winning that game by like 14 to 16, so shootout. So, I mean, I think Penn has a realistic chance. Now, Kansas is going to have their athlete disparity is going to be significant. But what Kansas does really well, and they do this elite in an elite sense, is they get out in transition. They're deadly in transition with Graham, and they shoot the three as well as anyone. They're top five three-point shooting team in the country. Well, Penn's going to slow the game down, and they defend the three as well as anyone in the tournament, actually better than anyone in the tournament, and they're number two nationally in three-point defense. I think they hold teams to like 29.7% from three. They're also a very, very fundamentally sound, statistically driven bunch where Steve Donahue, their coach, really focuses on like the sabermetrics of college basketball. They only take, they have dual bigs that they go inside to with Max Rothschild and AJ Berdour. So they filter all their offense through their two bigs, and they either look for easy twos or open threes. And they have a number of shooters from three, but they don't take any mid-range jumpers or awful shots. So a lot of it will be predicated on whether or not they can hit some of their open threes. I will say they're an awful, awful free throw shooting team, which I think is going to hurt them. Yeah. But they have.
Yeah.
The
let me throw something in there. Like everybody wants to know about Azubuike, right? And Azubuike's probable to play, but in my opinion, that hurts the point spread because of the cover. Because you had another great piece. Now I'm not pining. Like Sucky didn't put me up with this. Is another great piece that came out today on the Action Network. If you guys have not read it. About, you know, the differences in the teams in the first round matchups and their percentages in some of the four factor categories, whether it's field goal percentage, 3-point shooting, rebounding, turnovers per possession. There's a really great piece in there. Free throw percentage is a big deal. And Kansas is really bad at that. And that point spread's gone from 16 to 14. And if Azubuike's at the line, if he's playing, he's at the line, you got to feel pretty good with your pin at 14.5, right?
Yeah, and you can start doing, you know, Hakabuki at the end. I mean, ultimately, do I think Penn is going to win? I mean, no, but I mean, they're a 14-point underdog. But I can see the game. I mean, I bet them for I like them plus 14. I like them down to plus 12. I think it'll be a close game. They are it's a terrible matchup for Kansas. And if you're looking at the bracket, I mean, you got to be crazy to put Penn there. If you want, go ahead and you can frame the bracket and say you picked it. But
right,
I mean the. After that, they got to play Seton Hall. I assume Seton Hall is going to beat NC State. that's not an easy matchup. But then if they get to Duke, the winner of Duke, Michigan State, both those teams are top five offensive rebounding teams. Kansas is, I think 297th in the country in defensive rebounding. Now, they will get to play a Duke team that runs a zone, that runs, they're predominantly a zone defense now, so their shooters maybe can get hot. But Michigan State, well, I think, would just blitz Kansas.
Yeah, and this is a 1 p.m. Wichita game. Well, let's say that, too. I mean, this is a 1 p.m. This is an early slate. It's in Wichita, which is, I don't know if they're taking the bus at 7 a.m. or if they're going the night before, but it's still a three-hour drive from Lawrence. I don't think the campus is, I know the campus isn't on for break this week. I think they are next week. But, I mean, this is still an early slot for them. I don't think they played it this time, unless it's been on Saturday, which you can plan for. But, I mean, this is a midweek early slot.
Yeah, I mean, they just won the Big 12 tournament. I mean, it was an emotional run. So they could come out a little flat. Now, look, Kansas is still going to get threes. And even though Penn is, Penn's going to limit them more than, they even seen some of their, the lack of defense you see in the Big 12. But Kansas is still going to get open looks. Now, if they come out and start firing, I mean, they could blow Penn out. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I think that if they play this game, 10 times, I think that Penn stays within the number 6.5, 7 times. I think they win 1-ish out of every 10. So, maybe a little less. But, I think that Penn has, an 8-9% chance of pulling off the upset, which, compared to most 16 seeds, would never happen. Just to show you how bad the teams are seeded, Fullerton's the 15. They're catching 20.5, and they're playing the 2-seed Purdue. And, Penn's catching 14, and it's juice. It's probably going to go down more. Probably the most fascinating first-round game. Penn has the formula. Now, they don't have the athletes, and Kansas can always just shoot anyone out of the gym. But the way that they play, they can give them a game, and it's just a terrible, terrible draw overall. But it's just an awful seed. That's just an awful 16 seed to get as a reward for winning the Big 12.
So this is degenerate juice, so I should tell everybody, I am going to bet Penn money line. It's sitting around 850 all the way up to 900. Like Stuck said, like one out of every 10 times, maybe Penn could win this game. I'm actually going to take a first half. Sleepy spot. I like what Penn brings to the table. I'm going to take a first half money line on Penn. Maybe get a plus 400, maybe a plus 300, 350 somewhere.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the money lines that came out. I assumed it was going to be around there. Yeah, I mean, even the money line,
yeah,
it implies that they win around, like you said, one out of every 10. Yep. Even if you just think about it, everyone gets excited when the one is in a close game in the second half. If this game plays out according to the book, which a lot of times it doesn't, but say it's a 7-point game at the half. All of a sudden Kansas is going to get tight. I mean, this is that it does. I mean, if Penn's within 6-8 with 10 to go, then you have the Azubuike foul thing. I mean, there's just a lot of things that can go wrong for Kansas here, and Penn has nothing to lose. They can't go down, or you can't have Kansas come out hot and Svi hits like 4 threes and they go up 12, because Penn's not going to come back from a big deficit. But if they ugly it up and they just keep it kind of back and forth, you see this with some Ivy teams in the past with Princeton and Harvard, and you just keep it back and forth and you start to shift that pressure over to Kansas, I mean, then all of a sudden they get tight, and who knows what can happen, because this is not a 16 seed, people. It says it on paper, and it'll go down as the record if it happens, but this isn't a 16 seed.
So let's talk about this. I think a lot of people are trying to fill out their brackets. Let's talk about this, because every year you and I both know there's an 8-9 seed that's going to kill one of these one seeds, right? And I'm starting to see a lot of trends get leaked out on Twitter, and frankly, I do this with college football. Unless the trend is over 100, I don't take it seriously. If it's under 20, I really don't take it seriously. But I'm starting to see a whole bunch of 8-9s beating a 1. I actually took North Carolina State. I love their the amount of pressure they can put on Seton Hall, but really, to me, it's a pick'em game. So you like Seton Hall. I like North Carolina State, but do you envision them beating Kansas? I don't. I have Kansas on the way to Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, Seton Hall would be an interesting matchup because, I mean, Seton Hall can play with anyone. They're just a very inconsistent team.
Right.
But, they have a senior point guard. They can deal with pressure fairly well. but it's Seton Hall. And how much do I trust them to win that game? I think they do, but I think that'll be an interesting game. I mean, I think the best, the least, I would say out of all the eight, not the, all the, all the one seeds, I think the one that's the closest to a lock to get through is Virginia. I don't see Creighton or Kansas State being able to beat them. Then I would say Villanova. Now you have Va Tech, who Villanova has this thing called a second round curse. I mean, they've won it all, and but they've lost a lot in the second round. I mean, Va Tech can, just will chuck threes, and you know they potentially could get hot. And then you have Colin Sexton, but you know, so there's some potential there. But ultimately, I think Nova gets through, and Nova has a really easy pass after that because I mean they would be able to deal with West Virginia's press. I mean, Wichita State's a fraud. And, So they have an easy pass. I mean, I think that that's the East is where you see one versus two. Like, I think there's that's Purdue, Villanova in the Elite Eight. And then where there's where I think you have the best chance. So I can see Seton Hall or NC State give Kansas a game. I mean, Kansas is, I mean, they just own the Big 12. I mean, you see them get upset all the time. They just own that conference, but they're very 3-point reliant. I mean, they have been all year. And, you know, especially if Azubuike is not healthy or he gets in foul trouble. Now, some of that with this kid DeSosa and Lightfoot have played a little better in his absence. So it kind of, you know, allows them to – his impact of being off the court is not as significant as it used to be, but it's still big. I mean, the guy leads the country in field goal percentage. I think he shoots like 77%. So I would say that the second best chance would be the winner of NC State Seton Hall. And the best chance is Missouri, Florida State. I love the Xavier team. I have a future on them, but they don't really play – a lot of defense. And I would say Missouri more so than Florida State. I don't know if Missouri State can necessarily get by Florida State. It's the beauty of the bracket. You could say this team would win, beat the one, but I don't know if they'd get out of the first round. But Missouri can shoot. And, you know, you get another game with Porter, you know, because in the books and get them assimilated into the offense. And then all of a sudden, you know, say they win the first game, they become more dangerous because it's tough to just take a star player like that, implement him into a lineup and make, and then go into the tournament and just assume everything's going to be okay. So, you know, they're going to play. The problem is if Xavier played Florida State, Florida State's really long, but they go through droughts and they cannot shoot free throws. And Xavier can, I mean, Xavier's nails from the line, which is going to get them by a lot. That's why they win a lot of close games.
They're 270 places apart between free throw percentage. Like Xavier over Florida State is just amazing when it comes to the line.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Xavier has so much success in these close games. They don't give away points at the line, and they don't give away leads at the end. They're not going to miss a bunch of free throws, which you'll see in the tournament. So, yeah, I mean, I think we see an 8 or 9 beat a 1, and I think it'll either be Xavier or Kansas going down in the second round. I don't necessarily see Nova, but Va Tech or Bama, perfect day.
I have to be honest. I filled out 7 brackets today, and all 7 of them had Bama beating Nova. So the Colin Sexton thing, it's just there's things about Nova. They've been giving me clues all year that I think that they could tank in a game at any time. And, you know, when I look at them up against each other, the point spread in that game, if you were looking at Ken Palm adjusted EM, and took the difference between that. I mean, the points for in that game would be like 15.5. There's major Villanova like advantages. They're really big advantages in the turnovers per possession and the rebounds. But the Colin Sexton factor and the free throws are just absolutely, you know, between the two are just out of control. But the Colin Sexton factor, it's hard to gauge to take stats all the way from the beginning of the year, even through maybe the end of January when you've got these NBA lottery players, like there's 10 of them in the league right now, including Trae Young. I mean, everybody right now is hating on Oklahoma. I've read some of the pieces by you today, not to spoil some of the stuff, but it seems like everybody and their mother is fading Oklahoma. And I'm thinking to myself, they've got so much rest right now. And, you know, Trae Young and the rest of them are going to finally get to play somebody outside of the Big 12. I just think these star players that are going to be NBA lottery draft picks, they have a chance to shine at least in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Trae Young, and I think I'm almost positive I'll be on Oklahoma, is that he, you know, there was some fatigue there mentally with all the coverage, physically, with he was just getting bodied. they have a nice break before this game, but more importantly, they're getting out of a conference where they were, you know, it was essentially a one-man team, and he was dominating college basketball. And then he had to go through the second part of a conference where these teams already saw him once. They had tape yep. on him. They were used to seeing him. And, you know, there was all that mental and physical fatigue. So now you're going to go play a Rhode Island team that's that hasn't seen him. And there's going to be like a rejuvenated feeling to Oklahoma. You know, over the last 10, 12 games, they were just so deflated. And Rhode Island plays such, if you look at foul rates, they foul an excessive amount because they play such an aggressive defense. So what I think is Oklahoma's going to live at the line, especially Trae Young. Trae Young against an aggressive defense will be flailing his body. I think Rhode Island's going to get into foul trouble. Young will get his shot going from the line. I just see Oklahoma winning that game. And plus, there's been something that's been a little off with Rhode Island over the last 2 weeks. I mean, they're losing close games. That loss to St. Joe's at home was, I mean, lost by 30 on senior night. They lost two close games to St. Bonnie's. I mean, they had to come back to beat St. Joe's. They haven't been shooting well. So something's a little off with Rhode Island, too. You know, I think Oklahoma wins that game and then eventually loses to Duke. But Trae Young versus Duke will be fun to watch.
And this kicks off, Oklahoma-Rhode Island kicks off our slate. This is 11:15 a.m. Central Standard Time tip. I mean, this is it. We get 30 minutes of these guys. That's a really early tip for these guys. And I'm going to side with the team who's got the best player.
I would agree. So let's go to a couple trends that I'll throw out there that we covered some on some of our content. Well, one thing I will say is that when I'm looking at my bracket, I always try to find a 14 seed that's going to win in the first round. So I always filled out my bracket. And I can tell you that a 14 seed has won in four of the last 5 years. And it's easy to pick a 12. It's a little easier to pick a 13. At 14, you always look and it's like, man, I just can't see it. For example,
I'm looking at these 14s right now. I can't wait to hear this because I'm looking at these 14s. I'm thinking, who are you picking?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see Wright State. I can't see Bucknell. So I'm throwing them out.
No.
And I think Michigan State rolls. I laid the 14.
Yeah.
Bucknell is just, they dump it inside. And I mean, you can't do that against Michigan State.
Lucy's little brother in the state of Texas.
Well, see, but then with Stephen F. Austin, the interesting thing with them is that they lead the country, I believe, I know at least the tournament, in turnover rate, forced, and turnover rate on offense. So they turn it, they will press you, and they just run a ridiculously pressure full court defense. And Texas Tech has Keenan Evans, an elite point guard who can handle that pressure. They don't necessarily have another ball handler, which could give them some problems. But Texas Tech forces a ton of turnovers, too. Stephen F. Austin is going to turn the ball over a lot. And I think Beard will have his team ready, which leads me to this, you know, and there might not be. I mean, doesn't necessarily mean that a 14 has to win. But the one that I could see, and it will have to do with Jim Delaney, is Michigan. And I love Beeline in a tournament setting. And if they win this game, they can make a deep run. I mean, him in a tournament setting, and their defense and the way that their offense was rolling and Beeline's game planning. For example, since 2005, only two coaches have hit over 70% against the spread in tournament games, minimum of 10. John Beeline and Chris Mack. Chris Mack's also known as just a master game planner. So, but the reason I could see Michigan going down is by the time this game is played, they will have had, 10 days off from when they were absolutely rolling. So, you know, then you have a Montana team who just doesn't necessarily match up well with Michigan on paper. But, you know, they just won the Big Sky. They're going to come in more of a rhythm. And Michigan could come out just ice cold. And, you know, you saw that, you know, in an ugly game, you know, maybe you saw that against Northwestern a couple of times when they were completely out of rhythm. And then Montana gets hot and gets confidence. And then all of a sudden the crowd's behind Montana. And then it's 51-49 with a minute to go. And, you know, so that's the one I can actually see happening because of the long layoff factor. that can actually sneak up and catch Michigan, a team that was rolling, that this layoff's only going to hurt, and it normally doesn't happen with major conference teams.
Yeah, and I'm there right through. I'm taking my full disclosure. I'm taking Montana. I took them at 11.5. I think it's down to an 11. I think there was a couple of openers that were sitting at 12. You can still get five dimes. 11.5. As far as, like Stuck said, there's not a lot of big differences in this team. I mean, Michigan doesn't kill them in one area. Montana has actually extremely better free throw shooting than Michigan does. And this is the last game on the slate. This is an 8:50 p.m. Central Standard Time tip. Last one
Central,
of the day,
Central Standard Time. You're giving a Central Standard Time.
Hey, there's a lot of us in the Central. There's a lot of the gyms in the Central Standard Time. Don't hate us.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
There's a lot of Big 12.
By the way,
Michigan is like Michigan split in half. By the way, you never know what time zone you're in. You're in Indiana and Michigan anyway.
But you do bring up a good point in the free throw shooting. And by the way, Colin has been, and before he's really bad with time zones. I'll be organizing something with someone from the West Coast and him, and he'll be texting me times, and I'm like, he said this time's in West Coast and this time's in Central and this time's in Eastern. I'm like, can we get a universal code go? And he's sending me an email with three different time zones, time references.
I'm going to Australia in August. Wait till we get there for college football, right? And I'll say there's a 6 a.m. kick.
Oh, God.
No, I like Montana here. I'm taking the points. I like Montana here. Go ahead about the free throws. I think Montana's really – they're just free. They're going to come in loose, right?
Yeah, and you're going to have a rusty, rusty Michigan team. There's not a big sample size to look back on situations like this, because the Big Ten playing their tournament a week before is, you know, it's such an outlier. I mean, it's always all of the major conferences are this week, so – yeah, I would agree with you. And the free throw is a good point, the free throw percentage, because Michigan is horrifying. They're in the bottom 10 of all tournament teams from the line. So, I mean, even if they don't get upset, that can have a significant impact on the spread. So if they're up 9 or 10 at the end, or even throughout the game, just missing a couple free throws here or there, you know, that could swing the cover in Montana's favor. Montana, I think, is the 14 that could potentially pull the upset, and it's the 14 that I think looks the best against the spread. I wouldn't lay it with Texas Tech, but that game is going to be such high variance in that game with all the turnovers. I'm staying away from that game. Wright State, I guess, could ugly it up, and then I don't think Bucknell has any chance.
Bucknell.
So I think that's it. So those are the 14s. As far as the 15 seeds. So we talked about a potential 16. We talked about a potential 14. The 15 seeds, if you want to get crazy. Now, if Lipscomb did what they did to Florida Gulf Coast, they would win. But they're not. But they shot 33% from three all year. Now, I think they could stay within 19.5 because North Carolina's defense is horrendous. They're the worst three-point shooting defense in the tournament. And they just sag off teams, and they'll allow teams to get hot. And you know, Lipscomb has some players, but Lipscomb, all you have to do against Lipscomb is press them, and they have no ball handlers, and they would turn it over. But North Carolina doesn't really do that. They sag, and, Lipscomb can hang around if they're just bombing threes, which is always a potential, and North Carolina will give you that opportunity. I think North Carolina's athletes eventually take over. Duke, Iona, again, Duke and Carolina are normally going to be overvalued in the first round. I don't think Iona can win because of the bigs of Duke. There's a huge rebounding discrepancy. But Duke's going to play zone. Iona has shooters all over. They can hang, but they're not going to win. We already talked about Purdue-Fullerton. I think Purdue wins by 38. I laid it with Purdue. Fullerton does nothing. Their whole offense is like getting to the line, and Purdue never fouls. Their rim defense is awful. Haas is going to get easy layups. And Fullerton's three-point defense is horrendous, and Purdue leads the tournament in three-point percentage.
Cal State Fullerton's 177th in adjusted offense. Ken Palm, that's bad. I mean, they're going to have to find points and play somehow. Try to play some defense here. It's going to be a bad game for them.
It's ugly. And I think that's the easiest matchup out of any team besides Virginia UMBC, which is a funny game because UMBC just wants to run, and they're playing Virginia, but. Yeah, so then you go to Cincinnati, Georgia State, which are totals out yet?
Good question. I'm Scott here. As I'm, yes, absolutely, all of them. So, which one did you want to know? As we're on the fly here.
So
Georgia State.
Yes,
29.5.
That's going under. I mean, that's and that line is going to drop. This game could potentially be 48-43. It's two teams that, you know, outside of Syracuse, Georgia State ran the most zone out of any tourney team this year. They run a 1-3-1 morphing zone, and Cincinnati is an awful zone offense. They can't shoot. And Cincinnati, on the other hand, is one of the best defenses in the country, one of the best defenses of the last 15 years. I don't know how Georgia State scores. Cincinnati might struggle to score. It could be so their possessions are going to be low. It's going to be so low scoring. And if you're looking for a 15 seed with value, potentially Georgia State, because just the variance is so much higher in a lower possession game. You know, and if Simons, the Georgia State point guard, and they have a couple shooters, you know, can get hot, you never know. But it's two terrible zone offenses, and two really good defenses. I don't see this game. I think this game might not get to 100.
Yeah, and I don't. I'm actually not going to get involved in this game. Since this game, I mean, to me, it's such a low total on this game with Cincinnati. If you look at adjusted EM on KenPom and to get your point spread off of that, this should be a 21-point game, but the line's at 14. And frankly, a double-digit win and a total that has 129.5 right now. I'm not really looking to have that kind of investment. If I value my money and I don't have to play every single game, I'm not looking to take a double-digit favorite in a 129-point total game. There is a major, major discrepancy on Cincinnati's boards, whether it's offensive or defensive. I can't imagine Georgia State getting a rebound in this game when I look at the metrics on these two teams. So I don't, you know, it's kind of a tough one for me to take a side and for me to take a total because you're right. I don't think they score 100 points. And if they're not going to score 100 points, how does Cincinnati cover a 14-point spread? Because that's a pretty large spread if you think they're going to go that low.
Yeah, I would also look for the first half under probably looks good too. And then and then on top of that, if you assume Cincinnati's going to be winning, and then Georgia State starts fouling, Cincinnati's is bad from the line, so that only helps the under. So that's the only thing I could see there as far as a 2 versus 15. So now let's just get into the overall brackets and just look at them from a high level perspective. So we have let's look at the South first. So we both agree that Virginia is going to get to the Sweet 16, and then the committee didn't do any favors to Kentucky, or Arizona, who are presumably going to play each other. And the Virginia, while they have an easy route to the Sweet 16, they're going to either have to play a long Kentucky team who I argue with people here in Lexington, but Virginia would be Kentucky because Kentucky can't shoot. They don't have DeAndre Ayton. I mean, if DeAndre Ayton gets there, it's a different story, but I think potentially Kentucky could go down to Davidson, who is just a beautiful offense coming in rolling. They're going to zone Kentucky, make them shoot. They're going to, they don't run. I mean, this is from Jordan. When I was reading him today, they don't run any pick and roll, which Kentucky defends really well. It's all just scissor cut motion, and they're going to be able to score. They can shoot. The free throw discrepancy, again, they shoot free throws. Kentucky generally struggles from the line. That's a scary game in Boise, Idaho for Kentucky, for a young team after winning the SEC.
Davidson can put the pressure on, too. I mean, they rank 249 spots higher when it comes to turnover possession percentage as far as what their defense will put onto Kentucky's offense. So Kentucky's going to turn the ball over into this game. There's really not a big field goal percentage difference. And actually, there's 251 spots, a difference between them. When you look at all 351 teams in college basketball, there's 251-point rank difference in their free throws. So, I mean, as far as Davidson covering the number, to me, this feels like Kentucky's got the ball at tied or down by one with 30 seconds left, and we're on isolation mode for them to make a go drive and put in a scoop here for a score and for the win. That's what this game feels like.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be one of the best first-round matchups. I think it's Thursday at 7 o'clock, so it's a great time slot, too. That's 7 o'clock Eastern.
What's your time zone here?
So I think that, I mean, I'm looking at the NCAA bracket right now, and it says below there all times in Eastern. But
6-10 in the Central Standard for all of us Virginians in Midwest.
And so I think from a bracket perspective, because Kentucky could potentially get out of Davidson, and I don't think Davidson could beat Arizona. I think Arizona beats Buffalo. Right. Arizona will beat Kentucky. I think, I mean, yeah,
You didn't even pause. You didn't even pause. Arizona beats Buffalo that fast. Are you legit on that?
Yeah,
I know he's going to eat, but just give me, are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arizona's playing really well. They're on a mission after all this swirl. You know, Buffalo's a good team. They have good players. They're a versatile team.
Right.
But they're not going to be able to stop Ayton inside. He's going to be the difference. You know, I wouldn't
but be Buffalo mad at reminds me of Wichita. Buffalo reminds me of Wichita State. When they want to play, they're really good. I mean, they're really hot when they want to play. I mean, when Buffalo needed it in the MAC, they annihilated some teams. But you're right, though. Ayton, on the other hand, they have no answer for that whatsoever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Arizona tends to struggle in these games. But so if we get to Arizona, Virginia, that's one of the most fascinating games of the tournament. And, you know, so it'll be up to some of Arizona's guards to shoot over the pack line, but we'll see what Ayton can do against that defense. That would just be a fascinating game. So if you're looking to take a stab in this region, which I did, I have Arizona in the Final Four in the South.
Ooh.
That's where I'd go. But you have to get over so many landmines. But I think this team's just on a mission with everything that's going on, and I loved what I saw from them in the Pac-12 tournament, just from like an emotional want to you know, intangible perspective. So that's why I've come out
discuss,
of it.
Let's discuss something else in this pod. Is Nevada dead? I think they're dead. Are they dead? And Texas is going to be, you know, is Mobamba coming back? Does Texas have a shot against Nevada? And more importantly, is Cincinnati defense going to crumble against Texas if Texas makes it there?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things there is that, yeah, Nevada, I mean, they have no depth at all. They have no size, but I think their biggest player that gets regular rotations, 6'7". So I think that Texas, Bamba's back, and with Bamba being out, you know, you saw the development of Sims at West Virginia game. They just have so much more size than Nevada. So I think that they're going to dominate the glass. They're going to get more easy buckets inside, which is what Texas needs to do because they can't shoot. And that's what I think Texas' downfall. They'll have a shot against Cincinnati. It'll be an ugly game. But Texas can't shoot. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the tournament. I think they shoot 31%. They also can't shoot free throws. So I think that Cincinnati would prevail because, I mean, Texas is just a terrible zone offense and they can't shoot. But I think they match up well with Nevada. And they have talent, and they can ugly it up. And, you know, against Cincinnati in an ugly game, you never know if Cincinnati gets cold. And this Texas team has shown a lot of heart this year with everything they've gone through to even be at this point. They're a dangerous 10 if you want to take a Sweet 16 sleeper with them. But I ultimately think out of that bottom pod, it's Tennessee gets out into the Elite Eight.
Yeah, and that's what I've got for everybody. I filled out my bracket today, and it always came out to Virginia against Tennessee in the Elite Eight. I don't see anything in the advanced stats when it comes to Cincinnati taking on Texas. It's just kind of a whole thing where I think Cincinnati, you know, they might have great defense, wonderful defense, but, you know, Texas may come out. I don't think Texas has played its best ball game this year, to be honest with you. But, you know, I mean, Cincinnati across the board has better stats when it comes into turnovers per possession, rebound efficiency, and the spread should be around 11. So Cincinnati definitely has the advantage, but I'm not sure Texas has played its best game. But again, in this pod, it's Virginia and Tennessee for me.
Okay, yeah, and I'm going Arizona, Tennessee, Arizona coming out in the Final Four. And looking down at the West, we'll move on to the West now, to see, I assume you have Virginia coming out beating Tennessee?
I do, absolutely, yep.
Okay. So you have Virginia coming out of the South.
What do you have?
I have Arizona beating Tennessee.
Okay.
In the West, you know, I think that Xavier has potential to go down. if, you know, Missouri catches fire. But I ultimately think with their coaching, you know, on a quick turnaround, Chris Mack has been awesome. With their guard play and free throw shooting, they get through to the Sweet 16, where I think they ultimately go down to Gonzaga.
Yep,
Gonzaga's playing so well. They're so underseeded. And if you want to know how underseeded they are, they're a four seed. If the seeds hold, they play Xavier in the Sweet 16. They're probably favored in that game by 1 point.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
absolutely. I'm actually going to look it up here right now. Gonzaga would be favored by 3, exactly.
Yeah. So, I think Gonzaga is better than Xavier. They match up well with Xavier. They also match up well with Ohio State. UNC Greensboro is an annoying game. They're going to press. Frank Alonzo is a great shooter. Gonzaga has too much talent. But UNC Greensboro, guys, is a really good big man, too. But then Gonzaga, who already beat Ohio State by 37 or something, by 30 earlier in the year.
It was bad.
I think they would do close to the same thing. And they're just rolling right now with the development of some of their international flavor led by Tilly. So I love the way they're playing, and I think there's value. And if you look at the futures market right now on Gonzaga, because I actually have them coming out of the West in the Final Four.
So let's mention that real quick, because I have 100-1 on Xavier that I hit on 5 dimes for a couple hundred last year. You have Xavier, I think, at a number, right? And so I think the time is right. I mean, it's the perfect time for us to hit a 20 or 25-1 Gonzaga future, since I think both you and I agree that the Elite Eight representative here is Gonzaga over Xavier.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think that having the Xavier position only adds to the fact that that I should do it. And I would like it anyway, even if I didn't have the Xavier position. Because right. I think that Gonzaga really should be like a 2 or 3. And they're in, I think, the bracket with the most vulnerable one besides Kansas. I think they're right there with Kansas.
Xavier's defense is so bad. Xavier's defense is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, ripe for the killing.
I mean, Kansas's defense is bad too. So, Xavier's is very vulnerable. So I think Gonzaga gets out of here in the bottom half. It's interesting. Right. I mean, if Michigan could go down to Montana, but if they don't, I think they come out and get to the Elite Eight, and then they lose to Gonzaga, because I'm not a believer in Carolina. Now, Carolina should get through. You know, they're going to struggle. If teams can hit outside shots, they're going to lose. I mean, they sag, right. And like I said before, they're a terrible three-point shooting defense. But, Lipscomb's not going to beat them. Texas A&M or Providence, they could, but they're not great shooting teams. I don't even know if Providence gets by Texas A&M. And then if North Carolina gets to Michigan, and then they're going to have, you know, Beeline's going to have like 4 days to prep. And with their defense, it's like a lopsided defensive affair in that game, where Michigan against that Carolina defense will be able to score at will. And they'll be able, Beeline will come up with a plan to shut them down.
Let's put out a shout out to San Diego State, though. I like them beating Houston in the first round. I don't think they can extend it to beat Michigan, but I do like the 11 seed toppling over Houston there in the first round.
Yeah, I could see it. The team that's playing as well as anyone in the country that just turned it on and got healthy and is really playing well. But yeah, I mean, I think if Michigan just gets going in that first game, and then I think they have an easier in that match in that second game. North Carolina is a very gettable too. But ultimately, I have my second 4 seed in the Final Four in Gonzaga coming out of here. Who do you have coming out of the West?
I've got Gonzaga and Michigan. But, the more you and I talk about it, what happens if Montana was able to pull off there was a Montana-San Diego State battle for the Sweet 16? No, I got Gonzaga and Michigan. That's the way it should go. I don't believe in UNC either. I think you and I are in the same boat, and definitely out of this, if you have any Xavier futures, now is the time to fire on Gonzaga, because it's not going to be there after next weekend.
All right, and then who do you have? Who you put in the for your official pod Final Four?
I have Gonzaga taking on Virginia in the Final Four.
Okay.
And just a small note, like I'm sure you and I are going to record a Sweet 16 podcast. I'm actually going to fly out to Los Angeles. So as far as seeding goes, if Gonzaga can make it out of Boise, I'm actually going to be flying into Los Angeles into Staples Center to see them take on Xavier and then possibly Michigan or UNC.
Okay, and I have Gonzaga taking on Arizona in a all West Coast Final Four. Now moving on to the East, I think this is the easiest one to project. I think by the way, I think your Hogs, we could start there. I think your Hogs, no matter what, who comes out of that game, I don't think they're beating Purdue, but I think your Hogs go down in round one. And what I wrote about in the initial preview was the biggest difference in a game that's pretty even, and I actually could see it going over, turning into a shootout, is free throws. And Arkansas cannot shoot free throws, and Butler is 21st in the nation, and those points are going to add up, especially in two teams that struggle defense, that should struggle defensively, particularly in this matchup. Because of that, I think that each defense is going to get into foul trouble. So there could be a lot of free throws in a high scoring game. Free throws are going to matter. I think that's the difference.
So another part of your piece, which is really good, which is Arkansas ranks really highly in 3-point percentage. So if we're out there and we're sinking the threes up there in Detroit, we're going to be doing, we'll be okay. We'll be able to get by Butler if we can sink the three. If we can't, we're in big trouble because to me, Butler is another version of Tennessee, the way they play defense. Now, I was skiing yesterday and I had a lot of money on Kentucky. And the reason is because we made Tennessee look like they could win the national championship. We were tired. We were on our third game straight. We didn't play any defense whatsoever. And I've never seen a team shoot 76% in the first half, 7 for 8 from three in the first half. It was one of those turn the TV off and just walk away kind of games. Anyways, Butler plays a lot like Tennessee on the defensive side. Here's the deal. I mean, we got seven seniors. We're not going to come out sleepy in this game. Arkansas is not going to come out sleepy whatsoever. If we can hit the three, if you see Macon, Barford, if you see us hitting the three early in the game, it's worth a live wager. It's +1.5 in the game. I'm taking Arkansas. Of course I am. But as Stuck said, I don't think there's any way that we beat Purdue. I'm not taking them to go that far.
Homer. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things, I think UCLA beat St. Bonnie's, by the way, and probably worth a bet. But
Beats Florida.
UCLA could beat Florida. I mean, Florida is so small. They have no size, and UCLA has,
Let me ask you a
two
question.
majors.
Isn't every year one of these play-in games beats the sixth seed or whatever seed they come into? Isn't one of these play-in games? It's usually Syracuse.
Yeah, they usually make
Or
a
the
one of
semi.
these teams usually makes a run. I mean,
Yep,
VCU made the
absolutely.
Final Four from one of these games. So, I mean, a lot of people are like, "Oh, who cares about the last team getting in, the last team in?" Well, sometimes the last
Oh,
team
it's a big
in
deal.
goes to the Final Four, and can also knock off one seeds and things like that. But yeah, UCLA is an interesting team that can make a run. And they have Holiday as an outstanding point guard. They have stretch shooters. Now they don't play a lot of defense, and they'll zone teams, but which could be a problem against Florida. But Florida's not going to get rebounds, and they're small, and they're 3-point and jump shoot rely on Chioza to kind of create. I think Florida's gettable, and Texas Tech is still trying to figure it out. They're getting healthier, but they still haven't had all the pieces and the cohesiveness for a while now. Beard, who I love as a coach, but that's an interesting team as the six as the 11 play-in team that wins that game. But ultimately, I think Purdue comes out of here. I mean, I just don't see anyone that could eventually take them out with their combination of inside to outside play.
And if you're looking for something here, like if you're trying to be contrarian and you're trying to fill out a bracket that's gonna just, bedazzle your water cooler club at work, Florida absolutely laid an egg against Arkansas. They didn't come out to play whatsoever in the SEC tournament. Arkansas was able to take that game from them. So there's no reason the UCLA or the Bonnies couldn't do that. And I agree with Stuck that UCLA is going to come out of there. Keenan Evans, how healthy is he with Texas Tech? And if he's not healthy, they can't create their own shot. I mean, this is a great opportunity for the play-in for the 11 seed to make it as far as the Sweet 16 to take on Purdue.
Yep, I would agree. I'm currently thinking about doing that in my bracket. But ultimately, I think Purdue comes out of the bottom half. Villanova comes out of the top half. Murray State can cause problems for West Virginia because they have two great guards to deal with the press. Now, they're not going to get any rebounds, which ultimately could be the difference. Marshall can beat Wichita. that game might be first to 110. But I think Villanova has a very easy top half here. You know, unless Colin Wilson goes off or Vatek hits a ton of threes, then I think Villanova comes through against Purdue. And then that's a really interesting matchup, Villanova-Purdue. Flip a coin, but I ultimately went with Nova coming out of the East. That's my chalky section.
Yeah, I filled out 7 brackets. Now I'm going to get into Stuck's pool, right? Stuck's got his own pool. We got the Action Network. We got the Action Network bracket everybody should get into. There's a chance at some free money. Stuck has his own pool to get into. And then, you know, there's a little bit of a side thing I got going on where we auction off the teams, Calcutta style. I don't have Nova going that far. So if you want to be a little bit contrarian here, I actually have Alabama. I shouldn't even say how far I've got them going. I've got them in the Elite Eight. And I want to bring this discussion in right now. Do you, overall, in general, when you look at the conference with Stuck, do you kind of dislike what the Big Ten has done, that they've had like 10 days, 11 days since they've, you know, some of the teams have last played their game? And if I blindly took every SEC team in the first round, would I be a winner at the window if I just blindly took all of the SEC teams that are in the tournament in the first round?
Against the spread or to win outright?
Yeah, I guess the spread is another story. I think if you give me an over under, I think it's going to be at least 3 teams in Sweet 16 from the SEC. At least 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee makes it. I actually don't think Kentucky.
You don't like Kentucky, right? You don't like Arkansas. You
nope.
Don't like, we haven't talked about Auburn.
I don't like Florida. Auburn, I think, will get there, but New Mexico State's the scariest 12. I think New Mexico State could potentially get there.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say under.
That's a side bet you and I should have. That's a side bet, because I disagree with you on the Kentucky. I think we agree on the Tennessee. We should have a little side bet, a little over under 3 for the SEC teams. Megan, what's your take on the Big Ten, you know, as far as, like, these teams that have this huge, massive layoff, like Purdue? You know, I mean, is that a big deal?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I was saying about Michigan could potentially go down. But the thing with Purdue is they're playing such a bad team that they'll be able to get back in rhythm in that first game. The scary part of that is when the first game, where, you know, Montana has a lot better chance of pulling off an upset than Fullerton. So I just don't think it's going to matter to Purdue. Same thing with Michigan State. You know, I just think that they're so much better than Bucknell, and their defense, which is, you know, it's not like their defense isn't going to be hurt by that time off. Right. I mean, it actually could be a benefit, but it's really the offense and the flow and the rhythm, but their defense, which, I mean, they lead the NCAA in 2-point defense, is just going to shut down Bucknell's offense. And then there's nothing really else in the Big Ten to even talk about. I mean, Ohio State could have, I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, they could win one game.
No.
So I guess it could hurt them against South Dakota State. I mean, the dominator. Ohio State's a lot more athletic. But yeah, I think that from an against the spread perspective, where it would hurt the most is the offenses of Ohio State and Michigan. And they're playing teams that have, you know, a pulse. So I think that's a good point to raise. But ultimately, I'm shocked. So you have Bama beating Villanova. I have Villanova coming out of the East.
I do.
Who do you have coming out of the East overall?
I got Purdue beating Alabama in the Elite Eight. I don't think that's going to change either. I'm a Colin Sexton. It's getting a little crazy how much I like this guy.
He has the same name as you. So basic.
And he has it with 2 L's too. Yeah, it's with 2 L's too.
So basic. So then down in the Midwest, we already talked a lot about the Midwest, but I talked about New Mexico State, the threat of Penn.
Right.
I don't think Kansas is going anywhere. You know, Auburn was a really dangerous team before they had some of their injuries, which have really hurt their depth and their defense.
Absolutely.
I don't, you know, I mean, if Kansas goes down, maybe they can make a run. I mean, I think that pod, that half of the top half of the Midwest is pretty wide open and interesting. I think you could see just a number of odd seeds going through. Where I think this is pretty straightforward is Michigan State and Duke. We'll get to the Sweet 16, and the winner of that is coming out of this region, and I have the winner of that being Michigan State. Cassius, who leads the NCAA in three-point shooting against that zone. Michigan State can match Duke inside with their defense. I know that Izzo's had some struggles against Duke, but I think Michigan State comes through the Midwest, beats Nova, wins it all.
Wow. Before we get to the Final Four, which you and I have predicted, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Midwest real quick, because I have the same as you. I have Michigan State and Duke, and I have Michigan State. I have Izzo, you know, pulling it off against Coach K. But the one thing that we have not addressed on this pod, we haven't talked about at all, is Syracuse's inclusion as an 11 seed, which is atrocious. It's pretty bad. Some of your tweets were gold, by the way. Like, I mean, some of your, like, this committee has done a really bad job. Which is Syracuse's inclusion. That's just crazy, which I thought Arizona State was going to be left out also. So we got two teams I thought easily were going to be left out. I think the odds on Five Dimes for them were to be left out. So is there a chance, which Syracuse has been in a play-in game before and taken all the way to the Elite Eight, is there any rumblings out of here? Now, obviously, you got Michigan State going to Sweet 16. I've got them going to the Final Four like you do. Any chance Syracuse is want to give them some – all the people, the alumni, the journalists who have graduated from there, do we – want to give them their due? They're going to beat Arizona State or beat TCU, or they can do anything here?
Yeah, I mean, they could beat Arizona State, and they could potentially beat TCU. I think TCU wins that game, but they have no depth at all. Syracuse, zero depth. And so, I mean, they'll have to win the play-in game, and then they'll have to beat TCU, and then play a Michigan State team that should have rolled, and Michigan State will crush them. And so I don't think they have – their ceiling is winning – the playing game than a first round game. Same thing with Arizona State. You know, TCU is an interesting offense, but they'll just get bodied inside. I think Michigan State has a really, really favorable path to the Sweet 16. And then it'll be probably the game of the Sweet 16, Michigan State Duke, for the right to play a Kansas team that they would both match up really well with, or someone else that comes out of there. That's essentially your Elite Eight game between Michigan State and Duke.
So let's go over our Final Four. I've got Virginia Gonzaga up there at the top half. What did you have again? You had Virginia not making it.
So yeah, so I have Gonzaga versus Arizona, and I have Arizona winning and going to the national championship.
Okay.
And
you do Virginia for me.
And then on the other side, I have Michigan State beating Villanova, which gives me a national championship of Michigan State against Arizona, and Michigan State cutting down the nets.
Ooh, I have Michigan State losing to Virginia. I don't know where Virginia – I'm looking at this bracket now, and I'm just shaking my head. Like, where does Virginia find all this offense? I'm not worried about them on the defensive side, especially with the guy named Guy. But no, Virginia finding the offense to beat some of these teams here when we get later on, that's going to be a struggle. But I mean, we need, if Michigan State's going to go this far for you and I, we need ultimate rim control on the defensive side. And we got to have, you know, we can't be getting down by 30. We can't be playing Northwestern here on the road. We can't be getting down by 30 to some of these teams. Michigan State has a real problem in the first half, which all you live line people out there, I mean, I've had some DMs from people that are playing live on Will Hill. I've been playing a bet online myself, and they freeze the lines like Michigan State. Like, the bookmakers are smart. They're really smart. They know Michigan State's going to take a dive for 10 to 15 points pretty early, and they're going to freeze up the lines, and they're going to give you a shitty money line value. But that's how to play Michigan State, and the bookmakers know that. But if Michigan State's going to make it this far and they're going to cut down the nets, they've got to prevent these humongous depths that they have to come back from early in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their matchups in the first two rounds will allow for them to not get behind, and then I don't think that happens against Duke. So I'm not as worried about it, but it's a good point. And, so that's our Final Four. We'll have another podcast going into the Sweet 16 next week. I'll leave you with this fact. Since 2005, Butler is 21-5-1 against the spread, which is the best in the tournament. I forget who they play, in the first round. But they might have a hog as a mascot. So I'll be looking forward to checking out that game to see who wins for the right to lose in the next round. But good luck to your Hogs overall.
I'm going to be standing at the window next week from the I'm going to do this podcast from the window next week with my Arkansas ticket.
All right. Well, I'll see you there. And Vegas next week, right? Second weekend. Are you going?
I think, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'll talk to you offline about rooms and stuff. And thanks for joining me from the slopes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good luck throughout the first and second rounds of the tournament. Merry Christmas. Enjoy one of the best weeks in all of sports, and we'll catch y'all later. Cheers.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few wins as I breeze through. 2 a.m. and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 a.m. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too.